Amen. It's good to see everybody out at the home group meeting tonight for the month of May. Big plans for the future. Give some information that will be coming the next couple of months. Our son Daniel, who lives in Scottsboro, Alabama, will be with us at the home group meeting on the 28th of June, and so he will be speaking. And then in July, we're going to have Pastor Julian Wilson from India, and he will be with us for a couple of weeks, and he will be speaking in July. So we're looking forward to our son coming with his son, and then Pastor Julian coming in July. We just know the Lord is going to use them and speak through them, and we just thank that. Amen? Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us today. And as we always do, we kind of look at what we looked at last month, and so we can get our hearts and our spirit pointed in the right direction so we can receive what the Lord has for us. Well, last month we looked at nets. Now nets are whatever we use to draw to ourselves the fulfillment that we seek. Wow, let me say that again. Nets are whatever we use to draw to ourselves fulfillment that we seek. Holy cow, boy. There are so many nets in our lives. We TV and sports and cooking and all of these things. These nets that we draw, you know, we use to draw things to us, to our fulfillment. But Jesus told the disciples in Mark 1:16-18 that I will make you to become fishers of men. I will make you to become fishers of men. Notice Jesus did not say he will show them how to fish. Oh no. Jesus said he will make them to become fishers of men. The difference between showing and making is a process of God dealing in judgments in our life. Let me say that again. The difference between showing and making is a process of God dealing in judgments in our life. You know, many churches place great emphasis on programs and develop music and singing and dance and, you know, all of these. These are all outward nets. All of them are outward. But not too many churches are too concerned about those inward nets of their relationship with the Lord. You know, we need to go ahead and develop that inward relationship with the Lord, to use that relationship to draw those spiritual things to us and not be so concerned about music and singing and dancing and flag waving and all of that stuff that really doesn't do much for our inward walk with the Lord. Point number six, a man cannot give what he does not have, so we must have the spiritual life of God in us to be able to give the life of God. Let me say that again. A man cannot give what he does not have, so unless we have the life of God in us, then we cannot give the life of God. And if we cannot give the life of God, then all we will be giving will be death. Point number seven, and these are points that we looked at last month, as we allow the cross of Christ to become effective in our lives and we die to our feelings and our emotions, we will indeed begin to catch those lost for Christ. Wow. But that will be our relationship with the Lord. They will see that relationship that we have with the Lord, and that will be one thing that will draw them as the Holy Spirit draws them to. Point number eight. The other extreme is works, which the church today is obsessed with. Working our way to heaven, but this will never, ever do, my friend. The last point, point number nine, is Acts 1:8 says that we shall receive power. Well, the power is not to do, but to become like Jesus. Let me say that again. The power that speaks of Acts 1:8 is not a power to do things for God, but the power to become that process in our life, to become like Jesus, to be able to lay our life down and be available and willing to receive. Then our life shall become the message to catch people. Wow. Our life then will become that message to catch people. You know, in Acts 1:8, it says, you know, uses the word witness. It says, you know, you will be a witness unto me. Well, that word witness there most often is translated martyr, or we will be a martyr unto the Lord in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. But that word there, witness, also is translated message. that we will be that message. We will look like Jesus. We will be that message. Our life will be that message that people will see and hear, and then will be drawn to the Lord. Amen. Well, this month, let's go ahead and we'll be looking at biblical elements for daily living. And again, these are biblical elements, those things in our life that we need for our daily living. This will be number 16, and we will probably be moving through the biblical element for daily living and starting on another area for our homebrew meeting. But this will be biblical elements for daily living, number 16, and Romans 13 and 1 is the verse that we will go ahead and look at. And so tonight we'll be talking about being responsible for our soul. Did you know that we are responsible for our soul? You know, we think God does all the work and God is responsible for everything. No, my friend, we are responsible for many things in our walk with the Lord, and one of them is our soul. Now, Romans 13 and 1 says, "Let every man should be subject unto higher power, for there is no power but of God, the power that are ordained of God." Amen? Being responsible for our soul. God has made our soul with capability to allow us to be able to do certain things well enough that we can do them without asking God to help us, without praying about it. We can simply do them because God has already put that in us. He's already given us that ability as we walk with Him. We've already proved ourselves. We've already, you know, did those things that we needed to do, and now we have that ability in us, and so we no longer need to ask God, well, do I need to do this, or, you know, can you help me do that? He's already given us that power and that ability to do that, and what we simply need to do is just go ahead and do that. You know, God does not need to tell me to live right. Amen? God does not need to tell us to live right. You know, we know by reading His Word and our walk with the Lord that we need to live right. He does not need to tell me to go overseas in ministry. When the opportunity arrives and I know the Lord is kind of orchestrating this stuff before providing support and the Lord is just kind of lining things up, I don't need for God to say, "David, go overseas." I know that He already asked me to do that, you know, and we just go ahead and just move in that. But now, if God changes your direction, He will tell you. He will let you know. But until God changes your direction, you need to keep moving and flowing in the things that God has brought into your life. I remember in 2003 when we came back from Germany, God wanted me to be a substitute teacher at Alexander Patch American High School in Stuttgart, Germany. And so I became a substitute teacher when I retired. So when we came back in 2003 to the States, I needed a job, and God didn't tell me not to be a substitute teacher anymore, so I just naturally went out to the school system and asked, "You guys need any subs?" And they said, "Oh yes, we need substitutes." And so for 18 years, I became a substitute teacher. God didn't have to tell me to be a substitute. No, He didn't. He already told me to become a substitute. He didn't change His mind. And so I just needed to flow in that which God did in what God told in my life. Amen? Amen? So the real test is to know which things we can do for God, because He has already given us the capability, and the things we cannot do without God's help and strength. In Matthew, Jesus shared this very important spiritual truth, Matthew 17 and 20. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder plate, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." You know, this statement here just blows my mind. And nothing shall, nothing, this is not qualified, this is unqualified, nothing shall be impossible to you. We are to speak to the mountains in our life. Those situations and circumstances that block our progression in God. Those areas that become short of the glory of God in. Those areas where we are ever learning, but never learning. Ever learning, but never learning. You know, we are not to tell God about the mountains. We're not. He knows about the mountains. Matter of fact, God probably put those mountains in our life for spiritual growth and maturity, you know, in our lives. And our walk with God is to be learning and ever learning. But unfortunately, in so many churches and so many lives, we see people sitting in school and, you know, God is trying to help them to become those fisher of men and so forth, and just working in their life, and they're learning, but they are never learning. The process is for us to be learning and ever learning how to be like Jesus, not getting all bogged down with things like failure and, you know, all of these things that we go ahead and we look for into our lives. Amen? This also is why he said in 1 Corinthians, Paul said this, 10 and 13, there has no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. Now, I really like that. I know that there will be no temptation that I cannot overcome. Wow. We will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are not able. So, you know, God knows what I'm able to handle there. But will with the temptation also make a way, so the temptation's coming, okay? But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. We must not keep looking at the areas in our life, those temptations and those areas where we come short in. It is not to be a continual battle in our life. Let me say that again. Our temptations and failures and struggles is not, repeat, not to be a continual battle in our life. If so, we have truly not dealt with the issue. We have not. And we are double-minded in our heart. If continual struggles and temptations and struggles in, you know, this area and that area, if you keep struggling with that, that is because you have not truly dealt with that area. And why? Because you are double-minded in your heart. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable, not in some of his ways or a few of his ways, but in all of his ways. For us to overcome these areas of temptation and these areas we struggle in and coming short of the glory of God, we must be serious, and we must get serious, and we must be honest with the Lord. And you know what? We must always look for that way of escape. We should not be looking at the temptation and the struggle. Oh, Lord, help me, blah, blah. What we should be looking for is that way of escape that the Lord has already said that he gave us. Amen? This capability is to bring itself under authority. This capability is to bring itself under authority. A soul can actually give itself to authority, whether it is authority of Satan or whatever, to anything and even to God. Do you know that? Your soul can give its authority to whatever, Satan, God, whatever. Here in Isaiah 55:3, it says, incline your ear. We can actually do that. Or listen and come under me. We can actually do that too. Hear, heed. This is in the New King James. We can actually do that. And your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So we can incline our ear, you know, we can hear, you know, and our soul will engage then. Either we are under the control of God or Satan. Let me say that again. Either we are under the control and authority of God or Satan. Saved or not saved. Wow. Religion will not do it, my friend. Let me say that again. Religion will not do it. Either we're really saved or we're not. Either we're walking in church house religion and, you know, all of that stuff, or we're really, really saved. Wow. We can hear and take heed to God and live, or take heed and listen to the world and Satan. And, of course, that always ends in separation and death. Our soul has those two options. We can hear and take heed to God and live, or we can hear and take heed and listen to the world and Satan and die. The soul has the capability of directing itself. Oh, wow! Do not bury your head in the sand, but be responsible and keeper of your soul. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, That is our responsibility. That's not God. That's ours. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. This is a hint on how we should keep our soul. Lest that they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy son and thy son's son. Wow. God puts the duty and responsibility for our soul, you're at in, right? You're sitting down on us. The responsibility and duty of our soul, keeping our soul, is our responsibility. It's not our spouses, it's not the preachers, it's not our parents, it's not anybody, it's not our neighbors. The responsibility for keeping, the keeping of our soul is our responsibility. We should be concerned at the direction of our soul. Proverbs 22:5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doeth keepeth his soul shall be far from them. We need to keep our soul from not going near the thorns and the snares of life. A lot of Christians I know, and even some believers, they like to see how close they can get to the thorns and the snares. Amen? Wow. And if I was in a black church, I'd say, can I get a witness here? Because that is the truth. A lot of Christians like to see just how close they can come, but in actuality, then, you know, they get over too far. But so we need to stay away from the, you know, from the thorns and the snares of life. We come close in life, and the thorns and the snares we make from the words of our mouth and the deeds of our hands. So those thorns and those snares that we get over in, they come from the words of our mouth and the deeds of our hand. The thorns and snares are there in life, but it is our responsibility to stay clear of them. It is our responsibility, it's not God, it's our responsibility to stay clear of those thorns and those snares and those things that cause us easily to fall and stumble. It is our responsibility to stay clear of that. As our souls dedication and the responsibility Jesus shares, he provides this guidance in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, number one, with all of thy soul, number two, and with all of thy mind. This is our dedication. This is our dedication for our soul, that we're to love Jesus with our heart, with our soul, and with our mind. That is how, or that is the direction of his wholehearted dedication toward the Lord, that we love the Lord with our heart, with our soul, and with our mind. It is our heart. It is our heart is wrong and found to be, if our heart is wrong and found to be with no dedication, then our soul and mind will be perverted. Let me say that again. This is a critical point. If our heart is found wrong and found to be with no dedication, then our soul and mind will be perverted. It won't be wrong, it will be perverted. So it all starts in the heart. So we need to keep our heart. That there shall be a desire for cleanliness from our soul. Wow. You shall not make soul abominable with any creeping thing. Leviticus 4:11-43. Now this is not talking about hygiene, but wholesome in character, lifestyle, purity. This thought even goes as far as touches on our sexual appetites, that we are to keep our soul clean, you know, from anything that is abominable, anything that is not right with God. And of course, that even gets over into the sexual purity area that many Christians seem to struggle with these days because of things like pornography and, you know, soft porn you see on TV and all of this stuff. And it's one of those snares and one of those thorns that a lot of Christians will go ahead and see how close they can get to that. Well, I will promise you, the closer you get to that, the more you're going to get over and you're going to be going through abominable things that the Lord has warned us against. Do not subject your soul with all the filth of the world by taking that into your soul. It is not God's responsibility to keep your soul clean. Let me say that again. It is not God's responsibility to keep your soul clean. Keeping your soul clean, that is your responsibility. it is your soul. If your soul is polluted with the things of the world, it is not Satan's fault. It is your fault. Oh, Satan made me do it. No, Satan didn't make you do it. You did it. You went into those snares and into those thorns, and you went after that, you know? It is our responsibility to keep our soul clean. John 2:15 says, love not this world, nor the things in it. When we love the world and the things in it, our soul gets tainted. It gets stained. It gets filthy. Wow, our soul gets wicked. Our soul can get filthy. It can get dirty, and it's going to take the washing of the Word to clean our soul. And most Christians don't read the Bible. They don't spend time in the Word of God. And so their soul is dirty and it's filthy. And the only way our soul can get clean is when we wash it with the Word of God. As to our position, that is also our responsibility. Psalm 24:4 says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, notice, clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Our soul shall not be lifted up into vanity and live in the areas of vanity. That's pride and arrogance and lack of integrity. That's all vanity. That is not our position for our soul. That is very detrimental to our soul. Areas like vanity and all of these things, not having clean hands, our heart not being pure, these are all areas that are detrimental to our soul. Wow. The lower we can go in ourselves, the more successful we will be in our life before God. The lower we can go in ourselves, the more successful we will become in God. So many people want to be high and lifted up, and they want to be patted on the back, and they want all of these things, they want to be, exalted. No, that's not where Jesus is. Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, learn of me. And Jesus is meek and lowly in spirit. That's where our soul is healthy. When our soul, when we are meek and lowly in spirit, our soul will be healthy and strong. But when we are not meek and lowly, when we are vanity and think we're somebody special and so forth and so on, then we go ahead and we get over into some really, really bad areas. Some parting thoughts for tonight. In Proverbs, we see the provisions for our soul. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desires and have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Wow. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. That word diligent is dedicated, committed, faithful. So, but the soul of the dedicated, the soul of the committed, the soul of the faithful, they will be made fat. They will receive the provisions from God. Whether we get God's provision is not up to God. It's not God's responsibility. But God's provision for our life, for our family, for our spouse and our children, is not God's responsibility. It is our responsibility for us to do those things, to be faithful and dedicated and committed. Then we'll be able to receive those provisions that God has for us. In Luke, we see our responsibility for patience. Wow. Luke 21:19. In your patience possess ye your soul. Wow, now a lot of Christians don't want to hear that. A lot of Christians are not very patient. And I'll be honest, I can be very impatient, especially with people who tell you one thing but do another, or I'm going to call you back, or just, just lie to you. I seem, the older I get, to become more impatient with people that just don't do what they're supposed to do. And they lie to me, but we possess our soul through our patience. So if we check this thing throughout on patient waiting, we will see many things that come through patient waiting. Wow. If you are going to provide a lot for your soul, you do it through patient waiting. So our soul, the patient waiting is an area that we need to excel in, that our soul will you know, we will be able to possess our soul. Our soul must be patient, and that's in the Greek. It's Strong's 5278, and it means enduring, abiding, suffering, carrying. These are the things that our soul must do. And when we do that, then we will do that through patiently waiting. Amen?
Amen.
Many are on the spiritual quest, some for truth, some for power, some for faith, some for wealth, some for health, some for a formula, some for the maximum liberty allowed. That's the folks that get close to the snares and the thorns. The only legitimate quest is for the Lord.
Amen.
And His will in us and through us. That is the only legitimate quest in our life, is for the Lord and His will in us and for our life. Our soul is very, very important to us. If we lose our soul, we have lost everything. But many Christians don't know that our soul are our responsibility. We're waiting for God to engage and take care of our soul, but God is waiting for us to engage. And God wants us to come to the realization that we need to go ahead and take care of our soul so that He'll be able to use us in this life and in the next to come. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to You now, dear Lord. We thank You and we praise You for Your love and Your many blessings, Father. Lord, thank You for this word, Father, Lord. Lord, let this our soul be important to us, Father, Lord God. Let our soul, Father, Lord God, be center stage in our life. And Lord, that we will do those things that we need to ensure that our soul will be saved, Father. And Lord, we just love You and we thank You, Father, Lord. Bless all those that came out tonight, Father, Lord. We just love You and thank You, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
Amen.